Dave, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Good, Jason. How you doing? Nice to talk to you.
You too. Devin Dubnyk and the Wild. Dubnyk's knee injury, the coach came out, hey, our doctor said it's fine. Dubnyk says it's fine. Were you surprised at all, though, when he was banged up that they had him back up, even though they have three goalies, and then he had to come in relief in that Winnipeg game when he was cold?
You know, I think I was a little surprised, especially considering the way he had been playing, and it seemed like he was favoring it for a bit there, but they put him back out there. I guess you just have to believe that they know Devin, and they were honest with him, and he was honest with them. And obviously the medical evidence backs it up that it's nothing more than just a little bit of a bruise, and he's going to be back out there tonight. I don't necessarily think that he'll be on any kind of short leash, because though Darcy Kuemper, in the little work he's gotten this year, looked okay, he is not equivalent to Devin Dubnyk by any stretch of the imagination. And that's why they had to pay Devin what they paid him in the offseason, make sure they give him a contract, because they don't have the confidence in Darcy Kuemper, and certainly not in Nicholas Backstrom at all. So I think as long as he's able to stand upright and be in, you know, 90% of himself or equivalent of that, they're going to put Darcy Kuemper in there in a big game. They're going to put Devin Dubnyk in there in a big game.
Yeah. Oh, what do you think's the long-term or short-term plan with Backstrom?
You know, I've heard all the rumors. We've heard the rumors that they were going to try to cut him in the offseason, but that he was injured, so they couldn't. We've heard the rumors that they've been trying to trade him, although personally I cannot imagine what they would get for him at this point, an aging goaltender whose best days are clearly behind him, and he's not healthy. So I think they're kind of stuck with him at this point. The goal and the plan was to get rid of him in the offseason, was to just buy him out, let him go, and move on. And because he was injured and, you know, had to have some procedures done, that he couldn't. So he's there, he's on the roster, and they're just going to have to let him sit there and collect a paycheck for now until maybe at some point they can get someone who's interested in him. I don't know that they'll try to play him to try to get people interested in him. At this point, he's just kind of there if someone wants to take a flyer on him, but he's costing a lot of money, I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, I don't... Teams have already Buffalo has had some injuries. They didn't bite on Calgary's goaltender or Edmonton's goaltender, who are exposed on waivers for nothing. So, yeah, I don't see a trade possibility at all. The Wild are basically just going to sit there with dead calf's face all year long, aren't they?
That's it. He's like the unwanted house guest. You just cannot get rid of him at this point.
The blue line, I've noticed Ryan Suter is averaging about three fewer minutes per game, which is probably great for him. A lot of it, though, is has Matt Dumba's game improved that much?
Yeah, it really has. He said he was unhappy with the way he was going to start the season. In fact, last week he literally came right out and said, I haven't been playing well. I haven't been playing the way I needed to. And then he goes out and scores a game. He scores a goal over the weekend. So he's been playing better. Jonas Brodin's been playing better. And the plan all along has been to try to dial back Ryan Suter's minutes. I mean, they don't want him playing 30 or 35 minutes every single night, because then by the time he gets to the end of the season, listen, even the guys in the best shape are completely shot if you're doing that for 82 games, playing 30 minutes a night. So the fact that he is playing less minutes is a good sign that the defense as a whole is playing better. They trust other guys to stay out there more in bigger situations. Let him stay fresh so that when you are in game 75, 76, 77, trying to make a run for the postseason or in the postseason, Ryan Suter's still fresh, because he is still your best defenseman by far, and you got to have him fresh at that point in the year.
Dave Schwartz joins us, and now he's switched up. Him and Brodin aren't playing together. He's playing with Spurgeon most of the time, correct?
Yeah, Brodin's actually played quite a bit with Dumba earlier in the season. They just like their styles a little bit better. And it doesn't hurt. I mean, Brodin and Suter are your best defensemen. So if you put them both out in the same pairing, it kind of weakens the rest of your core. So I think it's a smart decision to split those two guys up. They're the guys that are going to play the most time, too. Then you have at least two, maybe sometimes three if you're rotating them through per game. But then you have two solid sets of D-men that helps you win better than just having one.
Right now, they're rotating basically their number sixth guy. Christian Follin's played six out of the eight games. Nate Prosser has dressed for two of them. Tell us about Follin. What does he bring as a defenseman?
Follin is a nice, big, physical guy. They like his shot. He's still young. You know, he makes some great plays at times, and you go, wow, this kid, why don't we see more of him? and then he'll, you know, miss trying to clear a puck and leave it right in his open zone, which we saw a couple times in the preseason. So he's strong, he's big, he's physical. They like that about him. He's got a heavy shot. He's got good ice presence, but he still sometimes every now and then makes that bonehead decision that makes you say, okay, this is why he's not a top, you know, or on the first pairing of defense or the second. But he's getting there. They just he's got to come along a little bit more to really earn the complete trust.
Looking up front, Koivu, Granlund, and Parise, you know, and Pominville, those forwards play the most, and then even Zucker a little bit. Then there's kind of a big drop-off of, you know, 3 to 4 minutes fewer between, you know, the top five guys, and then you get into the Charlie Coyles and the Niederreiters. Even Thomas Vanek. Like, Vanek's produced more, but he's only playing 14 minutes. Is he better in fewer minutes?
Oh, you know, he's playing much better than he did last year. Last year I would have told you he's better with a lot fewer minutes. The less you have to see him on the ice, the more successful the Wild have been. But that's not necessarily the case this year. He has been better. I just think that, you know, Zach Parise is a workhorse. Mikko Koivu is very good on the faceoffs in the zone, and they need him there. And so those guys just end up naturally getting more ice time. Zach Parise would probably never come off the ice if you gave him the chance. He's one of the hardest working guys in the NHL. So, and Jason Zucker finally scored. He broke through, scored his first goal the other night as well. Typical Jason Zucker fashion, just literally just beating everybody right off the faceoff. He's such a speed demon. So, you know, they have gotten to start the season, they got some good parity amongst the scoring. The third and fourth lines really kind of helped them get through that first week when scoring was a little slow, other than Zach Parise. Jason Pominville still hasn't scored his first goal yet this season. They're still waiting for him to crack there as well. So the scoring has been somewhat balanced at times, but it's starting to separate a little bit as they get into the meat of their schedule. That top line, second line, is really starting to do a bit more, and they're kind of backing off those third and fourth guys.
When you look at this Wild team, they didn't make a lot of changes in the offseason. Obviously, they won a round in the playoffs and then lost to Chicago, who, you know, was pretty good and went on to win the Stanley Cup. Do they need something else when you look at this team? Like, if they're going to beat the Chicagos and the St. Louis's come playoff time, I know they beat the Blues last year. What do you think the Wild, do they need anything else on their roster?
You know, they still lack that creative puck handling forward. And don't get me wrong, Zach Parise is as talented a forward as anybody in the NHL. He is a great position player. He out-hustles everybody in the league. But they don't have that Patrick Kane, that Vladimir Tarasenko, that Steven Stamkos, that John Tavares, those guys that if they have the puck, you have to get right on them because they can create by themselves without any help. And they don't really have that guy just yet. They kind of hope Thomas Vanek would be that guy, but he's a little past his prime. Zach Parise is, again, a great position player, as is Koivu. Jason Pominville is not that guy. They have guys who are close to that. They really hope that Mikhail Granlund could be that guy, but he's not turned into that player. He's a good position player. He's a decent second-line guy. Sometimes he's dropped to the third. But he is not that guy that as soon as that person has the puck, you fear him. You know, when Patrick Kane in the playoffs, he barely touched the puck during that series. But what he did, just about every time he scored. Same with Vladimir Tarasenko in the St. Louis series. I mean, I think at one point he scored on all but one shot in the game. They don't have that guy. And that's the one thing I think in the offseason that we all thought that they might address, that they didn't. A lot of that is probably salary reasons because they just can't at this point. But that is probably the one thing that's keeping them, you know, from getting over the hump and beating Chicago. And really, that is their sole mission right now. If you ask anybody on that team at the end of last season and in the offseason, they are literally planning for the attempt to beat Chicago in the postseason. That's everything that they want at this point.
Well, the one advantage early that the Wild have is, you know, Chicago's had a serious injury to Keith. St. Louis has already been decimated by some injuries that, you know, the Wild, if they get a strong run here, maybe can gain a little ground on some of those teams. I know Nashville's obviously another tough team in that very tough Central Division where maybe they could get home ice.
Yeah, the one thing I noticed last year in that postseason series with the Blackhawks is after that first game, and you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong exactly how it went, but I believe the Wild were up. Chicago came storming back and then won it late. And you could just see in their eyes, oh boy, here we go again. And that series was as much of a mind beat as it was a physical beat on the ice. And that's also what they have to guard against. Regardless of who it is in the postseason, it's getting past themselves. It's getting past the, oh, well, we got to the second round. You know, we never really get past this round, so we'll see what happens. They really have to get past that. They have good leadership. Zach Parise is that kind of guy. Nico Koivu's been around this league long enough now to know how to get the young guys through all this. And that's really what it's going to be. This team is talented top to bottom. They have great depth on all of their lines. Obviously, as long as everybody stays healthy, then that'll be just fine, and they can get there. But then they have to get past themselves, and that's going to be the biggest obstacle, I think, late this season.
Yeah, well, I remember game one was when Chicago was up 3-0. Minnesota stormed back to tie. They had all the momentum, and then they couldn't win it in overtime. And they never really seemed to respond after that. And that's, it's not a knock on them, because Chicago, you know what? Hey, they're Stanley Cup finalists 3 of the last 6 years, the winners. They've been pretty good. And it just, I think had they won that first game, you wonder how it would have changed everything for Minnesota. But I think they felt like, man, we just gave them our best, and we still couldn't, even with all the momentum, we couldn't finish it off.
That was it. It Tara Vinen, I believe, scored the goal in that game. And it took their soul, and you could see it in their eyes right after that one. And you're right, they never recovered from it.
Yeah, it's very true. One last one for you, Dave. When you look at the Wild overall depth in their organization, is there any young players that that organization is high on who they feel will come in, if not this year, at some point next season?
You know, two guys I would point out in specific, Tyler Graevac, who actually, I believe, started the season and then got injured. They love the way he played in the preseason. The forward was really good, a bigger guy, nice shot, skates real well. He actually got hurt, and I don't believe he's been back since. They've kind of called Jordan Schrader up and back, who's actually a Minnesota kid, spent some time in the Vancouver organization as well. He's a fast player, great position, but really undersized. He's short. He's maybe 5'9", so they don't, he never really gets a chance to stick with the team. The other name that you might be hearing in the next couple of years, if not next year or the year after, is Mario Lucia, who is playing at Notre Dame. He's finishing out his career right now. He is in the Wild organization. He's the son of Don Lucia, who is University of Minnesota head hockey coach and has been for a long time. Mario is just a phenomenal player. He is big. If you haven't seen him play at all, he commands the ice. And he could end up being that player. You know, you always have to wait and see how a guy's game transitions from college or junior to the pros, but he's big, he can shoot well, he's been fantastic in dominating since high school, and really he's gone on and dominated at just about every level he's played in, including now at Notre Dame. So I think that may be a name you see in the next couple of years, but this year at some point, as long as he gets healthy, I would assume you'll hear from Tyler Graevac at some point.
Great rundown, Dave. We appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, thanks. Anytime.